Welcome to the Difference of 13 podcast, where we make a difference by doing it differently.
Welcome to the Difference of 13. Today it's the Difference of 26 because we have my good friend here, Eric Westman, who is also 13 inches taller than me. I'm noticing a trend.
Yeah, well, it was nice that we made sure he got this chair that sinks so he doesn't look quite as tall. So,
right?
So it might only be a difference of 18, maybe, if we put it together. I dropped my chair down, too, just to try to make you feel taller.
Yeah, well, otherwise we can't get everybody in the same frame.
That's true. You do cause problems.
I know. I'm sorry.
So, but yeah, no, I'm super excited to have Eric here. Everybody listening, turn the volume up. Whatever you're doing, make sure you have at least another 15, 20 minutes to drive. We've been chatting for I don't even know how long before this, and I'm really excited.
You two would geek out together.
I know. We're going to try not to make it too geeky so that you don't go totally blank with all the information he's going to give you. But tons of actionable information if you have heard of keto and eating, trying to lose weight, trying to improve performance. Eric's going to be gracious enough with his time today to help you figure out if it may be right for you. And based on our talks before, to really quell a lot of misnomers that are out there. So I probably will not do as good of a job. Do you want to introduce him?
It's Dr. Eric Westman, and he has been devoted pretty much your whole professional life towards helping understand what food does to us and how it affects us from our health standpoint. And as we like to say here, doing it quite differently, looking at food from a different standpoint. So I will let you explain the ever-pressing question of what is keto?
Sure.
And how did you decide we were doing it wrong all these years?
Well, going back, the way you say it, all my professional life, it's not all, but it's been two decades now. I mean, and stepping back, it goes by fast, but still, that's a long time to be having patients and people who I know research setting or not, or actually just in a clinical setting, having done the keto diet, or it used to be called low carb, or it used to be called Atkins, and so I'm happy to take away misconceptions about it being unhealthy, or you have to have carbs for your muscles and all that. You have to carb load, and actually that's kind of just all falling by the wayside. So today the concept called keto is really the very strict version of a low carb diet that's been around since 1863 treat obesity and diabetes. Mm-hmm. So 100 years ago, before there were any drugs, even insulin wasn't around, the low-carb keto diet was used to treat diabetes. And so the way I got into it is that two of my patients at the VA Veterans Affairs Medical Center were doing this diet against my better judgment. Although looking back, I didn't really know much about it. I was curious and went out and read a book like a lot of people do today and said it must be bad. Your cholesterol is going to go up, you're going to get heart disease. And one of the patients came back and said, why don't you measure my cholesterol? And I said, well, okay. And it actually was better. And so two in a row, everyone said the cholesterol would be worse, but two in a row, it was better. And so that's when I started to get curious about it. Now, with 20 years of looking at cholesterol levels, it doesn't always get better, but actually most of the time it does. And so therefore, I did what every good researcher would do, is I wanted to study it. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was 1998, starting to study the low-carb or keto, which is the strictest version of low-carb diets. As one of my brothers says, that's my brother Eric. He validated the Atkins diet. So basically, you summed up in an elevator. Yeah. What did you do? Oh, I validated. Well, it wasn't just me.
Yeah.
There were other researchers in the U.S., mm-hmm. and now it's been studied all around the world, basically saying that, Dr. Atkins had it right.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. So did anything change from his original? I'm sure a lot of people listening may have had parents or done it themselves, the Atkins diet. Is there a difference? What happened?
In general, so the big picture view is sugar's bad. Mm-hmm. And so the sugar's bad. Well, it tastes great, but it may not be good for inflammation in the body. Right. And you know, the truth is, some people can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are genetic differences among people, and so Dr. Atkins had it right that sugar was the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And if anything, they used to teach just stay the 2 weeks of the very strict phase and start adding back carbs. But Dr. Atkins, if you treated him, or if you got treated by him at his office, he would keep you at that induction level, they called it, 20 grams or less for as long as you needed till you reached your goal. Mm. So that's what we started doing in our research.
Yeah.
We kept people 6 months, 1 year, and now since we opened our clinic at Duke in 2006, I've been following some people for 12 years on a very low keto level diet under 20 total grams or less for the day. And if anything, the research now, and there are several high quality research conferences going on the keto diet, which is fantastic, is saying that it may even be better not to add back the carbs.
Really?
It might be better for living longer, to protect against cancer and Alzheimer's, to not eat the carbs at all. Which, so it, in my lifetime, it went from this is going to kill you, you know, eating fat and cholesterol, you're going to die of heart disease, to now it actually might be better for you to not have carbs at all.
Well, in the food pyramid that I grew up with, there was a lot of carbs on there.
Well, that was the whole
was the
base.
Foundation.
Yeah.
7 to 11. Well, we know that's wrong.
Right.
Well, and actually, there's some really important books if you want the deep dive into it. Gary Taubes, Good Calories, Bad Calories. Nina Teicholz, The Big Fat Surprise. All of that was not based on science at all.
No, it wasn't.
It was marketing the food that America makes.
Right.
You know, and it was when that got into our children's high school level health class as a healthy diet when I started to say, wait a sec, I need to not just be a doctor anymore. I need to also get into the policy and the guidelines and all that because, you know, you're teaching our children to eat more and more carbs. And that's why we have such a big epidemic of diabetes and obesity today.
Mm. So I have to go back and I think you mentioned that cholesterol or eating a lot of fat won't give me a heart attack. Now,
right.
And as somebody with cardiac issues, that's interesting. Though, and I've, you know, I hear from people all the time. You know, we had, we talk about other keto discussions. I think we've had in the podcast briefly, and you know, it's like, well, isn't that going to give me a heart attack or a stroke? Or
right.
So you're saying that's not true,
right? And but that's still a kind of knee jerk reaction,
right?
If they're too medical issues that people will say, oh, it's going to cause heart disease and it's going to burn your kidneys out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no evidence for either of those, actually. Really? And those two books I mentioned go into the detail about how fat was really never implicated for heart disease with real science. It was kind of this almost like the telephone game when you play with children and by the end, fat caused it. Well, it turned out that the cholesterol wasn't always from the fat in the food and the cholesterol itself. There's actually a good LDL, a good bad cholesterol, and a bad cholesterol. And so the more cholesterol gets studied, the murkier and less clear it becomes.
Right.
And so now enter in the new science of, well, let's look at not just total cholesterol and LDL in the blood. I'm sure a lot of your listeners get those measurements. I go over them with my patients all the time. Now we look at the triglyceride, blood triglyceride, and the blood HDL, which is the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And those will almost always get better on a keto, low-carb diet, where the total and the LDL might not get better. And so I'll just explain the old way of looking at it was the total and LDL.
Yeah.
The new way is triglyceride and HDL.
Mm-hmm.
And even other doctors will say, don't do that doctor whatever diet or there are a lot of names, don't do that keto because of the cholesterol, and I'll just have to check myself for them, their blood, and go over that. So
did anyone ever say don't do the Westman diet?
Well, you know, yes. And,
do you have one named after you at this point?
No, and there won't be one for several reasons, although people generally want to follow someone.
Right.
Like you've noticed in your practice, I'm sure people want to follow you and your approach. And I wanted this to be bigger than me. And because there's an epidemic, we need 100 me's or, you know, 1,000 doctors. Mm-hmm. I want to make it much larger than that. So the, of course, the in my own little niche here in Durham, North Carolina, a lot of people know it as the Westman diet. Yeah. But in, you know, Phoenix, it's the Nally diet.
Yeah, exactly.
There's Dr. Nally. Right. There's, you know, different doctors in the different areas. Yeah.
You are me in keto form. talking, you know, when I started Par for Success, I purposely did not name it the Finn Clinic. It was because I want it to be bigger than me. I believe that medicine can be done differently and be done better. And it's really cool to have, you know, have somebody else in another realm of medicine and health with the same, like just basically substitute out keto and put in physical therapy and health. And it's really cool. So thank you from everyone who you've helped.
Yes.
you know, you should be thanked, you know, enormously for everything you've done. It's pretty awesome that you've swam, is that the word I'm looking for? Against stream, you know, for so long. And what you're finding is you're proving that what you're seeing is worth believing because the data is there and the numbers are there. And that's what we're trying to do in our little world of golf fitness and therapy. And
well, you see the improvements day by day.
Right.
You know, right in front of you.
Yeah.
That was a big step where people are looking for science research out there, ignoring even what they see in front of them.
Yeah. So,
right. It's convincing people to, pardon the pun, literally think about it differently because we've heard for so long the food pyramid, fat is bad, you know, physical therapy, you have to use your insurance, and trying to get people to understand that medicine and health is changing and we need to start really looking at things in a different way and being open to new ideas. Just because your grandparents did it this way doesn't make it right.
So what's fascinating is in the cardiology, heart disease world, the past president of the Canadian College of Cardiology or Canadian Cardiology Association had his own specific improvements with keto. And it was, so it's the people in medicine that actually will change the view of the science. This doesn't seem right. It seems, I naively thought that science drives all this. But even in medicine, people, doctors follow other doctors. So I was just at a meeting in Toronto of the Canadian Cardiology Association where we did a small group session and we both talked about how inflammation is the cause of heart disease.
Right.
Not cholesterol, not fat in the food. And pretty much that's generally accepted.
Yeah.
Now, the next link that has to be solidified is the link between what food causes the increase in inflammation in the body. The science is just going to take time. You can measure that directly in your body.
Right.
So an individual can get their own blood markers checked looking at inflammation rather than the cholesterol level.
Wow,
and that's
awesome.
Kind of the where the cardiology world is, at least as of Toronto. And I think this is October, so October 2018. So it's relatively recently.
So could you then take that, extrapolate that, and that, you know, the muscle is, the heart is muscle, to, you know, our world and the physical therapy side of things? Could we essentially help clients get better quicker by looking at those sorts of markers for inflammation? And, you know, post-operatively, let's say somebody has a total knee replacement and getting those markers done even pre-operatively, getting them as down as far as we can, would that potentially lead to better recovery?
Yeah, it might. I'm careful to be transparent about what comes from randomized controlled trials or what comes
from the research is different,
clinical observation, but it's a strong signal in my patients who have done keto for a while, have not eaten carbs, basically, and not much carbs, under 20 total carbs for the day. So your carbs come from vegetables, basically. They tell me that the surgeons report that they are, that you've recovered really fast.
Yeah.
Or even the scar heals quicker. And I think it's because a couple of reasons. One is you're getting sufficient protein.
Right.
Basically, a keto or low-carb, high-fat diet is really mostly protein. It's kind of the wrong name applied to it.
Right,
but we were all taught that high protein was bad. So it's trying to find the the sellable term that doesn't say high fat and right. doesn't say low
scare
carb.
Everybody.
And so keto, it really means fat burning, and actually muscles run really well on fat.
Yeah.
Depending on what type of exercise you do, you may be familiar with the endurance athletes. There's actually a competition to see how fast you can run 100 miles.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of crazy.
Yeah,
for me,
I would never join.
So the people, Zach Bitter is the world record holder.
Yeah.
I've heard him speak several times, and he does low carb most of the time. Will add carbs. You know, so if you're going to do high performance, elite athlete sort of things, you want to really follow someone who's doing this. It gets a little complicated. It's kind of like getting into an airplane and flying. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't just go in without checking the wings, or
right.
you know, to make
right.
sure that there's the new crack on
yeah.
it. But so I'm curious to know if golfers or people who are developing this power really fast, to the theory would tell me that you don't need a big glycogen sugar store in the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
That you need that for sprinting.
Right.
So if you're a basketball player or a sprinter in track and field, probably doesn't make sense to optimize the fat burning in your
mm-hmm.
muscle.
Right.
But, you know, that research is going on now at Ohio State.
Yeah.
And Jeff Olick at Ohio State and Dom DiAgostino and his group at University of South Florida in Tampa are actually working with elite athletes to try to optimize this. And I don't know of many golfers who are keto that have talked about it publicly.
Right.
I mean, you can kind of tell if they have had a big belly for a long time. Probably not keto.
Yeah, right. John Daly is not keto.
Well, I don't know for sure. But stepping back, the keto really just means your body is burning fat and mm-hmm. ketones for the most part.
Right.
And not sugar. And you step back, you can determine what your body burns for fuel by what you eat.
Yeah.
So actually, you're in total control of what you want your body to burn.
Wow.
By what you eat. I know most people never thought about this.
Yeah.
And the kind of the general principle is you got to have protein,
mm-hmm.
we think, every day.
Yeah.
Although there's this new idea of intermittent fasting,
mm-hmm.
which is fine to me to just eat once a day.
Right.
As long as you're eating protein first.
Mm-hmm.
It's been interesting. And the muscle idea is there's some rare muscle diseases that if you run them on sugar, the people do really poorly. These are called glycogen storage diseases. And if you run the muscle on fat, they like get out of wheelchairs.
Wow. That's amazing.
So the muscle, and the heart muscle
yeah.
included, really likes ketones and
yeah.
fat.
Wow. So it's like giving them the 93 grade gas instead of the
right.
87, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, now most cars doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
but if you're a high performance vehicle,
yeah, it does. Yeah.
It does.
There you go.
So now does the quality of that food, does that matter? So I've heard the quality of the protein makes mm-hmm. a difference, and that egg whites might be better than processed protein. Or does that matter? Is that all just, I mean, you got me questioning all the research now.
Well,
so.
I think your yeah. car and fuel analogy is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a car that's not going to know the difference between the mm-hmm. regular and high, ultra fuel,
yeah. Yeah.
then it probably won't matter. If you're, I guess what I'm trying to say is if someone's losing weight, they're fixing diabetes, they can eat at McDonald's
right.
and just not eat the bun.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Although that's a good strategy for anyone.
Right. Yeah.
If you're out and about, there's no food except fast food or restaurants, you do the best you can.
Right.
But there's really no data that I'm aware of that shows that grass-fed beef, the special butter, and the bulletproof coffees
mm-hmm.
and all these things actually do anything to advance performance.
Really?
So what we're seeing is a coming together of the food quality businesses
yeah.
mm-hmm.
that can make a higher margin
mm-hmm.
on that food.
Right.
What really kind of three worlds came together, the low-carb practice, the paleo world with food quality,
yeah.
and then the ketogenic diet for epilepsy, which
right.
has been around for 100 years. Ketogenic diets, you do macros all the time, and so keto, you have to do macros. Well, you don't have to if you just keep the carbs low.
Right.
I know you'll be in ketosis, but then the food quality issue. You know, I even had someone who said, it wasn't grass-fed beef, so I ate the bun.
Yeah.
Oh,
not knowing the relative emphasis
yeah.
should be to not have the bun, no matter what the food is. Yeah. So, but in that fire hose of internet knowledge and information, depending on how you get into it today, I see these kinds of missteps. You know, but an apple doesn't come with a warning on it saying don't eat if you're on a keto diet.
Right.
So people need to get the right education. And it's really protein that comes first, and your body runs great on fat and ketones. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of reassuring of people that, you know, it's just food.
Yeah.
It's don't worry about it. And now, you know, a few things like early on, you might have fatigue,
mm-hmm.
you might have cravings or headache.
Yeah.
So we do teach about that. We call that the keto adaptation phase. Mm-hmm. It might last a few days, might last a week.
Yeah.
But I've had people, you know, almost get scared and crazy about, oh, I'm dying, you know, because I'm eating fat and now I'm going to have a heart attack. And No, it's fine.
You're going to be okay.
It's fine.
So what, I think if we're talking, we were talking before about the kind of three groups of people. You have kind of you've spoke a little bit about the high performance realm. There's obviously the medical realm, diabetes and obesity. And then there's a third realm of just people who, you know, maybe, you know, they're getting a little bit older. They're thinking about, you know, the Grim Reaper is on the horizon and I want to keep pushing him as far back as I can. How do I stay healthy as long as possible? And in the golf world, we talk about yards and years. That was the theme from the fitness summit this past year, about trying to gain as many yards and play for as many years as our bodies will allow us to, and hopefully trying to tell our bodies about how long to allow us to. How does, and maybe it doesn't, does the keto diet, in terms of if somebody is thinking about wanting to get into it, should they enter it at, with more guidance if they're in one of those groups, less guidance, you know, anything they should be looking out for? What would be your recommendations, you know, at a high level? Obviously, this would be very specific if they were coming to see you. But, you know, if let's say our professional high performer, our, medically complex person, and then just our person who just generally wants to be healthier.
Well, when the research on the low-carb keto diet was getting to a level of, yes, you have FDA approval at that level to use it, one of the first groups of doctors who asked me to come speak were the anti-aging doctors.
Really?
Wow. The anti-aging doctors, a lot of them are in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
hopefully you got to go down there in the winter.
Yeah, right. And, but what they had learned, and they put it together first, is that the mitochondrial level of sugar burning versus fat burning, this is a cell structure that actually burns the fuel for you, like the furnace,
right,
runs better on fat than on sugar.
Yeah.
And so the anti-aging people were using keto and low carb long before other doctors, partly because they didn't have to stay within the medical guidelines. Yeah. You know, a lot of them were doing outside system kind of care. But yeah, so it may be that you could actually live longer by doing keto. Now, the level of evidence there is fairly weak, or should I say it's theoretical.
Right.
And now it's at the animal model level, where that if you take two groups of animals and their mice, they're middle age, you randomize them to keto or regular chow, which has carbs,
right,
the keto mice actually live 13% longer.
Wow.
And there's really no other diet or other treatment that can do that.
Right.
Now, that's early preliminary type of research.
Mice, but, not people, but...
Yeah. But so looking at it the other way, the degenerative problems that we face today in the Western world, not just the U.S., it's all over the world,
right,
the Alzheimer's and the cancer start with insulin resistance, and carbs contribute to insulin resistance.
Right.
So I see it, the health optimization is kind of two things. One is you want to age less, and then you don't want to get the chronic degenerative diseases that so many people get these days. So, yeah, there's a good role for health optimization. And you might not have to be as strict to monitor ketone levels and macros and things that you would be if you were, like, getting in an airplane and flying, and like an elite athlete might want to know exactly.
Specifics.
Yeah.
So, if you know, we have a number of members here, and there's, you know, people listening to this that work out at other gyms too. If they wanted to see where they're at, is there a blood test? You know, could they come see you? How did, you know, what's their entry point to like figure out where they are at, you know, day one, and then, you know, implement, you know, the, you know, the treatment or the diet basically. And then, hey, 30 days later, 60 days later, where am I? How do you measure that?
Yeah. So a lot of people just do this on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You learn based on good resources, good materials. As long as you have no medical problems, I'm fine with that. Yeah. Not on medication.
Yeah.
There'll be a certain percentage that just do this on their own. Mm-hmm. In fact, the waiting list at my Duke clinic is so long, people will get an appointment and then often start it on their own. Having lost 50 pounds, I look at them and say, you don't need me.
Yeah. You're doing fine.
Yeah, they're doing fine. Well, they want the reassurance. Right. And if they're not on medicines, I don't worry. It's right. just changing the food.
Right.
So that again, that the big picture view is you're taking away the junk.
That's
you're
awesome.
Taking away the garbage. And so if you want to drill down to the blood tests, most doctors can check these.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they might not do it automatically. You might have to instruct them
right.
to look at the inflammatory markers, to look mm-hmm. at the second level of lipid tests.
Right.
But I'm also very intrigued with the idea of looking at the arteries directly.
Mm-hmm.
So our system doesn't pay for it now, yeah. sadly, but you can actually get your carotid, your aorta,
really?
And your coronary scanned with ultrasound or mm-hmm. a rapid CT scan. And all of the blood tests we check are really just trying to prevent this disease on the arteries.
Right.
So some of my patients worried about that. I'll say, well, go out and get the test for the ultrasound of the arteries. If you don't have the disease, don't worry about it. Whatever
right,
you've
yeah.
done isn't causing the
yeah.
disease. Don't obsess about a number mm-hmm. that your doctor is worried about.
Right.
I'll even joke that I'll send the doctor a Valium prescription to have them calm down, because some of these doctors really get uptight about
it. They do.
So where is there, do you have resources? I know, you know, I want to talk a little bit about how people, you know, you have a couple exciting things going on, you know, professionally to help bring this to people's front doors and, you know, help as many people as possible in the United States and I'm imagining beyond. you know, where, you know, if they wanted to just go check out some basic information, like, you know, you mentioned the second level LDLs and those sorts of things. Do you have resources for people to go to?
Sure.
What's the best place for them to find that?
So I think worldwide, the best resource is dietdoctor.com.
Okay.
So it's www.dietdoctor.com. Andreas Ehnfeldt is an internist in Sweden.
Yeah.
I know him, have known him through the years, and a lot of my videos end up at Diet Doctor, and
perfect.
He'll come back and tell me, you know, Eric, your videos are very popular. So I'm glad to help out there.
Okay,
and then
cool.
our own specific protocol that we use, you mm-hmm. can learn about at healclinics.com.
Okay.
H-E-A-L, heal for healthier yep. eating and living, and then also adaptyourlife.com, which okay. these are two companies that I've helped to start. To scale up, you know, I have had several entrepreneurs come to me and say, you know, Doc, you've done really great. Look at all you've done. How many people have you treated? And I said, well, you know, 8,000 and we, you know, 10,000. They said, how many people need this? Millions. And so they look at me and say, well, how are you going to do that?
Yeah.
Well, help me. So
yeah,
I have
yeah.
two entrepreneurs, two different companies that are helping scale this up, because that's not my skill set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can be... very helpful in terms of making this safe,
mm-hmm.
making sure you're getting great nutrition, achieving the goals that you want to do. But I don't have the skills to make it a worldwide business and make it available. And that's my goal.
Well, you spent all your time in the labs
right.
and
right.
treating people. That's why you're so such an expert at all this. So.
You mean you can't do it all?
Well, that's what
I'm.
That's what she keeps telling me. I don't
yeah.
know. We're learning that the hard way,
right?
So you know, tell us you know, what's on the horizon? You know, in the upcoming months, you know, for Heal Clinic, you know, what's
you have a
so
lot
exciting?
Going on?
Yeah. Well, again, it was the waiting time at the Duke Clinic.
Yeah.
That really kind of and the number of people who need this
right.
that got me involved in the Heal Clinics.
Yeah.
And HEAL will treat anyone at a distance if it's
awesome.
If you don't have a medical problem.
Yeah.
And the method that we use basically was created by Jackie Eberstein and myself. Jackie
mm-hmm.
worked with Dr. Atkins for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So Dr. Atkins had treated 60,000 patients in
yeah.
New York City.
Wow.
And he was the doctor I visited to learn how to study this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't just go and do it.
Yeah.
We did our own research back here at Duke. So we have a protocol that's fairly simple. fairly robust. If you do it, it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of money back guarantee, but I'll say I guarantee this. Yeah, if you do right. it, it'll yeah. work. And what's exciting is we finally honed down the business model.
For the next couple months for Heal Clinics. What's coming for the rest of us consumers out here? How can we potentially work with you? I don't know. She says you're busy every time she talks about you. So
we've been trying to get him on here for a while. It's like,
yeah. So what are you doing?
He's here. He's there.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us kind of what's coming down the line?
Well, we have a business model with the Heal Clinics that is pretty exciting. And all we really need now is the engine. No, we have the engine. All we need is the gas in the engine to get it going.
Right.
Okay. So the clinic within a clinic model, people get the service of the Heal Clinics within the doctor's office. The doctor wants that for their patients. It really, there's very little marketing that needs to be done. It's pretty much all word of mouth,
right?
Mm-hmm. Which is great from the business side.
Yeah.
And what we've learned is that you can actually go direct to the public in an offering for stock at a very low rate.
Oh, really?
So wow. This is
That's
called an online public offering.
Okay.
Unlike an IPO, which everyone says, that's like when you go public in the old days.
Ring the bell.
Ring the bell, yeah. Right. And this is not an IPO. Yeah. It's called an OPO. So for as little as $480,
mm-hmm.
an individual can buy stock in the Heal Clinics.
Wow.
And it really makes sense because as a grassroots movement, the low-carb keto movement has been the people doing it. It's right. not coming from the guidelines, the mm-hmm. doctors telling you to. In fact, they're still resisting.
Yeah.
So it's a way for an individual to basically change the direction of the future by helping a company like Heal Clinics in the keto low-carb space. And to my knowledge, it's the only company you can actually invest in in the keto space.
Right.
Talk about challenging the status quo.
I know.
Well,
see, I told you.
But it's the day-to-day That's results awesome. That I see that keeps me going.
That's awesome.
And so you're...
And I really think this is the way things are going, is people are getting tired of the status quo, the way things have been done because it's not working, and that we need to start from the ground up and make these changes ourselves. So this is a great way to kind of put your money where your mouth is.
The investors have given comments like, I don't want other people to have to figure this out on their own.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or I want this available for my mom who lives, the other side of the country.
Right.
So the idea is to have Heal Clinics and teaching all over the country and then, of course, internationally eventually.
Yeah.
But the other thing that people say is kind of an altruistic thing. The early investors mm-hmm. want to help change the world.
Yeah.
There are a lot of healthcare people, mm-hmm. a lot of nurses, a lot of individuals personally affected by the keto diet who are giving back with, it's as little as $480. You can actually buy stock and influence the development of a company that will be self-generating money. And that's something that needs to happen more and more. People need to figure out how to make money doing this, or it'll just fade away.
Well, it's the same thing with our model in the cash mm-hmm. world of physical therapy, and that we are on the forefront of kind of jumping out and doing it at the level we've done it. But I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with the American Physical Therapy Association and their different groups and saying, look, all this information's great, but if we don't teach people how to actually make money doing it,
then
it's for naught. We're going to continue being in the rat race of the traditional system that we're in. And, for a therapist, that means we're seeing 20 people in a day, you're double booked, you have a tough time really going home being fulfilled.
Right. For the client, you're seeing the therapist of the day for a few minutes.
Passed around, you're going 10 more visits than you really should have to go for.
Right.
And so that's just, it's really, I think it sounds like an awesome way that you guys have found to help other people. The grassroots movement is a phenomenal, it's just the perfect thing to say for it, to start from that ground level up and to help a company that's really aligned from a methodology standpoint and mission standpoint from everything that we stand for here of really trying to help people. And I think the cool thing is that you're doing it with the right information. It wasn't that you tried to start a business right off the bat. You wanted the answers and the information first.
Right.
And then once you got that, then it was like, oh, well, we can help people. Still didn't even think about the money.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, I guess what we could do this would be to form a business. And it's the business became a byproduct of your mission.
Right.
And that for us, that was kind of what happened here. I just got so frustrated in the healthcare system. It was, well, the only other way to do it is to make a business. So, well, I guess I got to learn how to do that. So I think, you know, if you're listening to this and you really want to help as many people as possible, I can't encourage you enough to, I'll put the link
in the show notes.
That way it's right there. You can go, and for as little as $480, I think you said, you can actually contribute, to helping get the right information out, because as we were talking about before, there's a lot of, quote unquote, YouTube experts. If you're watching this on YouTube, hopefully we're not one of those. But you know, this is a great way to get that information. You know, the other links, for the dietdoctor.com, and adaptyourlife.com. Those are other great resources where you can see a lot of more great information from Eric. I will definitely put the link in here so you guys can contribute, to hopefully, you know, putting your mark on history, and helping America become less fat.
Yeah.
So, and maybe living 13% longer. Who knows? We'll keep you posted on those studies.
And a healthy 13% longer.
Right. It's not alive for 13 years on a ventilator.
Right.
And not in a wheelchair. You know, that, I think that to me was the most telling story of when somebody made that change, you know, with those glycogen storing, you know, issues, and they went from a wheelchair to standing. That's massive in terms
dramatic
of how powerful
change.
That is. That's crazy. So,
muscles like fat.
Apparently. All right.
Works
so
for
see,
me.
My salad and bland chicken, as everybody gives me crap for, is
right.
Well, is actually maybe not the bad way to go.
You can put a little seasoning on it, then. A little flavor.
Yeah. So, well, thank you so much for being with us,
definitely.
Eric. We are absolutely grateful for you taking time out of your day to be here. And it sounds like we have a lot of really exciting things to look forward to from the Heal Clinics. And from you, stay tuned, you guys. If you're out there, if you're hopefully you stayed in your car whenever you got to wherever you are to finish listening to Eric chat, the links will be all be in the bios. So dietdoctor.com and adaptyourlife.com for a lot of the just the general information. You can check out healclinics.com if you want to see what Eric is doing, and I will also put the direct link if you want to contribute and you know
financial, buy stock.
Yes, buy stock to really you know help them grow and reach their dream and Eric's dream of helping you know everybody that he humanly can.
Well, thank you for taking the time and showing me what you're doing here. It's fantastic.
Thanks for coming and appreciate it. So as always, guys, Terry needs thumbs up and
yes,
five stars.
Please.
She gets depressed when you don't give them to her.
Mm-hmm. Comments.
Yeah, comments, questions. If you have questions for Eric, put them in the comments box.
And we'll get those too.
We'll get them over to him. And who knows? Maybe we'll have him back on. I'm assuming this will be one of the most viewed episodes.
So. I have the feeling there's so much more we could talk about.
Maybe there might be a study among golfers.
Well, I wasn't going to throw that out there, but I was biting my tongue on that one.
We'll get some volunteers.
Yes. If you're interested in that, let us know. So as always, check us out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Par for Success. And if you're watching on Facebook,
YouTube.
We're on YouTube. See?
We're on one of those.
Yeah, it's been one of those days. On YouTube. We'll see you guys later. If you're listening in your car, hopefully you got to where you're going and weren't too blown away by everything Eric shared with us. And thanks for hanging out with us this week. And we will see you on the flip side.
Bye.